The scripture reading this morning is from Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There's always somebody that knows us better than anybody else in the world. And for some, maybe that's a family member. For some, maybe it's a parent. For some, maybe it's a friend or a coworker that we've gotten to know over the years and just seems to know us kind of inside and out. And in a lot of ways, this is a good thing. You know, kind of having somebody that you kind of have that bond with. I know my wife and I, Julia, we have just gotten to be the best friends kind of over the years. And it's great because you develop kind of those commonalities, kind of those compliments sometimes of things that you're interested or things that you like. She loves to go hiking. I love to complain about going hiking. Works out. And you get to be kind of okay, or at least almost endearing of maybe some of the flaws or some of the kind of character traits or tics that other people have. And you know, I mean, if my wife is to have any flaws or any addictions, Target and Starbucks are not that bad. It could be worse. Sometimes I like to go there and just kind of see what all my money is buying. Just kind of soak up all the heat and the light and just know that I'm making some contribution to the local economy in some way. But then there's also things that you learn in those relationships about yourself. Somebody who can kind of see your blind spot, somebody who can kind of point out things to you that maybe you didn't know about yourself, or maybe some things that you continue to grow, can have that ability. Those people that know you a little bit more than you even know yourself, or at least can see some parts of yourself that you can't always see. But we want to think of kin beyond more than just the people that know us kind of better than anyone else. In fact, there's some people in this life that we don't know at all, or we don't know much about at all, that can teach us some pretty incredible things about ourselves as well. In fact, some people that we don't know at all can be some of the greatest examples of teaching us how to trust more, how to find purpose in our lives, and how to build relationships that before we never even really thought were possible at all. So it kind of brings us to our scripture reading this morning. Kind of one of my favorite readings in the Gospel of Luke, the calling of the first disciples. And so when we look at some of these calling stories of the disciples, what's really interesting is we have the way of kind of looking at it kind of historically, contextually, But in a way, we get to kind of put our sort of modern sensibilities on it as well. And we get to see where we fit into the story. We get to see kind of how we fit into how Jesus has called us into ministry as a believer or as a disciple as well. And so we get this really unique story that starts out with Jesus standing beside the Sea of Galilee, or standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret, as it says. And the fishermen have just kind of come in after a long night of fishing. They're washing their nets, they're mending their nets, they're getting everything ready, kind of putting them back in the boat. And then all of a sudden, the crowd seems to be kind of following after Jesus and begins kind of pressing up against him and kind of crowding up against him. And you almost get the sense that Jesus almost has to kind of back up a little bit until the waves or the water start to kind of hit on the back of his feet. But the two boats that are there, one belonging to Simon, Jesus kind of jumps in and they put off from shore just a little bit and maybe kind of gives them a little bit better angle, maybe gives them a little bit kind of better perspective. Maybe he can see more people, or maybe he can kind of project to more people. But they were pushing him for a teaching to hear the word of God. So he pushes out in the boat and he began to teach and to preach. And after his teaching, and after his preaching, he turns to, you assume that Simon kind of went out in the boat with him, and his freshly washed and mended nets. He says, let's take the boat out into some deeper waters and do a little bit of fishing. And as you're hearing in the scripture reading, there's a little bit of protest of, hey, this is something we've been doing all night long. We've kind of gotten tired. We've actually kind of turned in from the day. I just got the nets washed. I just got the nets mended. Whether this is hopeless or not, this guy that everybody has come to see has asked Peter to give it a shot. And so Peter says, Master, if you want us to, we'll do it. And then the rest of the story unfolds, as you've heard, that the nets begin bursting with fish. That everybody was amazed at the catch, so much so that something happens within Peter as he recognizes this one who has come is one unlike any other. And he says, Lord, I am not worthy to even be close to you. I am a sinful, sinful person. But Jesus takes a chance on Peter. He takes a chance on those who are following and are amazed, and he asks them to come and follow him. Now, in a lot of ways, this story is inspiring. It's this idea that God kind of walks into our lives and kind of uses us in a way that sometimes we're familiar with, and uses us in a place that we know and kind of have skills and abilities, and God can kind of transform our lives. But I want to rewind the story a little bit, and I want to think about it from Peter's perspective. And I want to think about it from Peter's perspective, and maybe a way that I would have reacted to the situation. Maybe not so much as a disciple and not so much as a follower as Peter did. But here you have, coming in from a night of fishing, having caught nothing. You come and you do kind of the menial but necessary task of kind of cleaning the nets, washing them off, mending them, which takes a little bit of space. Which takes a little bit of room. It's kind of mindless in the sense that maybe this is your quiet time, your time to kind of think things through for the day, think about where you're going to go fishing next, think about what you need to do for the rest of the day. And in this space that you've kind of carved out for your day, you've kind of carved out for this moment, all of a sudden everybody else starts to show up. They're showing up in your office. They're showing up in your space at the beginning of your day, and all of a sudden you're the one getting pushed out. And so you take your nets, you throw them into the boat, and you kind of take a step back, and you're listening to this guy that everybody has come to listen to. And whether it's entertaining or whether it's frustrating, at this point, there's something else. Jesus says, who does this boat belong to? I want you to kind of take me out a little way so that I can talk to everybody else. And so all of a sudden, this day, this morning that maybe you had planned for yourself, now Jesus is wanting to kind of jump in your boat and kind of take a little bit more of it. And so you're sitting out there, listening to this guy talk to everybody else. And some of y'all have heard preachers go on for a while. And whether it was interesting or whether it was intriguing or entertaining or even frustrating at that moment, I wonder what Peter must have thought as the waves were kind of lapping up against the sides of the boat, whether he was tired, he'd been out all night, whether he might have dozed off a time or two. But finally, the sermon or this teaching or this lesson wraps up. And as he gets ready to take Jesus back out to the shore to drop him off for his crowds and his peoples, Jesus says, I want a little bit more of your time. I want you to take me out a little bit deeper. And I want you to do some more fishing. Yes, with those very same nets that you just spent the morning washing and mending and getting ready for tomorrow. So in a sense, really the story is about, who does this guy think that he is? That he walks into our space. That these crowds push us out. He gets into our boat and wants us to take him out. And even then, he wants us to go out even further and to tell us how to do our job. This story can go a lot of different directions. But Peter's not like me at all, and the story is not about me at all. Because you see, Peter reacted in a much better way. Peter took a chance on Jesus. And in that chance, he began to see something incredible, because he began to see full nets. Something that he could relate to, something that he could understand, something that he could see. And something happened in that moment of realizing that this guy who has walked into his space and told him how to do his job and has ruined his morning is showing him something he has never seen before. And something changes inside of him to the point to where he does what a lot of us do in that moment of faith when we recognize something in God that is holy and sacred and pure and peaceful, is he began to push it away and he said, God, I am too sinful for you to even come close to even be a part of, for me to even be in the same boat or to invite you into my office. Lord, you have better people to see and to talk to and to fish with. But then Jesus takes a chance on Peter and invites him to come and to follow him. And to follow him into what God knows at this point. More fishing, more pushing out into the deep waters. But I'm not sure in that moment if Peter ever imagined that as the crowds came to hear from the word of God from Jesus, that he would ever one day be standing in front of crowds of people teaching the word of God to them either. Something happened when these two guys met this morning. And I don't think that they were real familiar with him, even if Peter kind of knew who Jesus was. But they took a chance on each other. And something incredible happened. Something incredible happens when we open up our trust in a time or a space or a relationship that we never intended to. And what often happens is we find a purpose that we didn't see before. That when we open up enough to trust maybe somebody outside of our normal group of friends or relationships or co-workers, then oftentimes we find that God has a purpose that we wouldn't have seen before we trusted. And that purpose forms a relationship that begins to define a work that God is going to do in this life, in this community, and in our lives that we can never fully understand or see until that moment. Because the bottom line of kinship is God is calling us to open up and extend our relationships and our trust to people who are outside of those normal circles that we usually see. Because here's the bottom line. God is going to teach the crowds. God is going to feed the crowds. God is going to heal the crowds. But he is going to walk into our space and ask us to do it with him. And if we are unwilling to trust in that moment, to take a chance on what God is willing to do, then maybe we just take him back to shore, throw our nets into the boat for another day of fishing, and miss out on one of the most explosive things that God has planned for this world. The very building of the kingdom of God. Our temptation is a lot like maybe some of us can kind of read into this story. Maybe not like Peter. Maybe we're not as accepting as Peter is. But maybe we want to kind of hoard our boat. Maybe we want to kind of keep our nets ready for tomorrow. Maybe we're just as defensive that when God says, I want to use you, that we keep pushing him back and say, God, you don't know what you're asking. But God has taken a chance on every single one of us. He has walked into our families. He has walked into our offices. He has walked into our homes. He has walked into our churches and our community. And he's asking us to be a part of the teaching and the feeding and the healing of the world. To take our idea of who our kin and our family and our relationships are and to make it even bigger. And to truly see what can happen when we take a chance on someone else. As the band comes forward, will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks because you are the one who walked into our lives that morning. You are the one who called us to go deeper into waters and to do the things that we thought that we were good at, but to show us that you are asking us to do them in a deeper way. That what can happen in our lives where we begin to trust a situation that you have called us into, to take a chance on you and to take a chance on others, and in that we find a purpose that is unlike any other. That it's true that you have called us to be fishermen, but Lord, you have called us to go out and to fish for people. Lord, you have called each and every one of us in a unique space, in a unique way, but you are calling us to live in a deeper way, to come and to follow you. And as much, Lord, as we would like to resist or we would like to maintain our space or our relationships, Lord, you are calling us to come and to follow you. And as much as you have taken a chance on us, allow us to take a chance on you. Allow us to take a chance on others. And in that moment, glimpse and be a part of the very building of the kingdom of God. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close out,